Acts 10:44. When you have it, please say amen. Acts 10, verse 44. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. I want everyone in their Bibles today, amen. Take out your pens. Write your notes, amen. The Word of God says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Underline that, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Amen? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. I'm going to speak to you today from the title, No Prejudice in Christ. No prejudice in Christ. Help me, Lord. The Word of God says in the 44th verse that while Peter yet spake these words, what words is he saying? What words is he talking about? The words right before. In verse 42 and 43, what we have there is a snapshot of the gospel. Amen. Verse 43 and verse 44. Can you turn there briefly? Amen. 42 and 43. Thank you very much. Amen. Verse 42 says this. Point one. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, as we went over last week, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. Jesus told them that God ordained Jesus to be the judge of the quick and the dead. This is what you are to preach, apostles. Tell the people that Jesus is going to judge everybody. Amen? The quick and the dead. What does that mean? Let me just briefly give you a snapshot of last week. Jesus is either your Lord and Savior, or he is your judge unto condemnation. There is no middle ground. Amen? You're either on his good side, or you're on his bad side, and you're not forgiven. Why? Because you've rejected his offer of salvation. Simple. Amen? Also, Jesus is the Savior and the judge of all races and all creeds. Meaning, whatever you decide to classify yourself as, he is still the one that either saves you from the wrath of God or the one that condemns you to the wrath of God. Help me, Lord. Amen. Point two, verse 43. Peter doesn't hang there forever. He quickly moves to the second point. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Sins paid for, wiped out. Amen? Also the power, as I spoke of last week, the power to overcome sin, to walk in the power of the Spirit. Amen? So basically, the only way out is to believe and trust in Jesus. And trust in who Jesus Christ really is. Amen? He is the one that was prophesied to be the Savior of the world. You must trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary to have your sins wiped out as if you've never committed them. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? But you must receive Jesus Christ and all that he has done for you by taking your sins upon himself and willingly giving his life to pay the death penalty that is required for sin. Amen? Basically, Jesus took my place. Jesus took your place and took the punishment for sin upon himself. Amen? That so that whoever receives Christ, amen, would receive forgiveness, remission of their sins. Amen? Is anybody in here perfect? Has everybody in here committed at least one sin? I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but we got some very honest people. Say, yeah. I got two hands for you. I'm going to count my fingers. You're running out of fingers. I need your hands. Amen. Here's another snapshot. We know the scripture is very famous. I'm just setting this up. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In other words, verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Amen. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son, the Son of God. Amen? So Jesus is the judge of both the quick and the dead. And there's only one escape of judgment, and that is to obey God's command to believe on, not just in. Amen. Trust and rely on Christ. Amen. To save us from the wrath of God. Is that clear? Now, I need to say this. You go back to Acts 10:42. Help me, Holy Spirit. The word says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And it is because God hates sin. I see some people listening. Good. I want you to hear this. But God is not angry to the point that he never made a way out of his righteous judgment. Amen? Notice here that the focus is not so much on the judgment, but the focus is on the love of the Father. The love of Jesus Christ. Amen? A lot of people would say that God is some angry somebody who is just waiting to get everybody. God is angry with sin. He is angry with the wicked every day. But he made a way out. Amen? Amen. So the very fact that God gave his son is proof of his love. Amen. But to have God give his very best to save us and then reject that love. Amen. That's what causes the anger and the judgment of God. Amen. That we refuse to take his offer. And we decide to stay in our sins and live in our sins and say, I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm okay all by myself. Amen. That is not the truth. Jesus Christ was sent to this earth for a reason. And that is to save us. Amen. So the issue is rejecting God's offer of forgiveness that he offers through Christ and choosing to stay in sin. That's the problem. Amen. It's not that God does not love. The issue is that God sent his son, and that is proof that he is loving. He did not have to make a way out. Amen. So once those two main points, and here's where we're going this morning. Those two main points, basically in Acts 10:42 and 43, where Jesus is the judge or the Savior, depending on your situation, where he moves into quickly that Jesus Christ is the one that is the one who causes forgiveness of sin when we receive his offer of forgiveness. Right there, right when those two points are made, something miraculous happens. What happens? Give me 44. This is where we are this morning. While Peter yet spake these words, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The Holy Spirit basically said, All right, that's enough, Peter. I got it from here. You've given them the gospel. You've given them the snapshot. Amen? The Holy Spirit basically said, okay, Peter, you don't have to preach for 45 minutes to people who are already hungry and thirsty for Christ. Amen? Jesus said it this way. Watch this. Matthew 5 and 6. Turn to it real quick. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is the promise? For they shall be filled. So what happened is just what Jesus promised would happen. Amen? Remember, Cornelius is a devout man. He desires to do what is right. He wants to be a man of integrity. He has a distaste now for corruption. Amen? He has a longing to see honesty and justice serve. Amen? But more than all of that, he's grown dissatisfied with this world. He hungers and thirsts for more than what this world can deliver. He's searching for truth. And God makes good on his promise that if you seek me, you shall find me. Amen? If you knock, the door will be open. So what happens? Huh? God shows up and tells Cornelius, Cornelius, I'm glad you're trying to do what's right. Uh-huh. But that ain't enough. So I'm going to send you to Peter. Go send for Peter. Amen. Go send for Peter. And Peter's going to do what? Peter's going to tell you how to be saved, sanctified, and satisfied. Amen. He's going to tell you, huh, how to get the only thing that will quench your thirst, the only thing that would cause you to be filled. Amen. You got to go to the one who has the living water. Amen. You got to go to Jesus Christ himself. That's the only one. He's the only one that can satisfy your thirst. Amen. And his name is Jesus. It's good that you're trying to do good, but your good ain't good enough. You're going to need somebody perfect. You're going to have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So God interrupts Peter's preaching because all that was needed was for them to what? Hear the gospel. That's all. Amen. Once you tell people the truth and they believe the truth, and the Holy Spirit takes over. That's amen. Which means you don't have to sell the people the gospel. Just preach it. Oh. A lot of us get hung up. You don't have to just tell them the truth. Amen. God will not withhold his Holy Ghost from anyone who is believing. Amen. So the power is never in your brilliant, perfectly crafted, spoken delivery of the gospel. Just give them the gospel. Just listen, cousin, I got something to tell you. They ain't gonna like you. They probably not gonna like you for 6 weeks. Let the Holy Ghost work. Amen. The gospel is offensive. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's going to cause you, you're talking about me. You're saying I need a savior. You're saying I and all that. Amen. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. So in one sense, it's true that we need to study people. We need to know the gospel. We need to prepare. Understand the gospel. Huh? Have these scriptures ready. Amen. Pull out your card. Whatever you got to do. Amen? We need to know the gospel and prepare to evangelize. But the other side is that we need to pray that God prepares the people that we are sent to when we go and evangelize. Amen? Are you seeing that? Lord, send me to the right house today. Lord, let me have lunch with the right folks today. Lord, let me sit next to the right co-worker today. You see what's happening? Amen? Why? Because God forbid we take glory for what he's doing. Are you hearing me? The reason why they got saved, because I know. I was ready for them. Look at what I did. I am some Christian. No. It's the work of the Lord. Amen? Now take note. Here we go. All right, here we go, Lord Jesus.
Let's go, Pastor.
Calm down, Jamie.
That's good news, Pastor.
Give him the gospel.
I'm going to, Lance. Take note that they received the Holy Spirit just by the preaching of the word. They just heard the word, received the word with faith. Amen? Meaning they believed what they were hearing. We could teach Sunday after Sunday, and some people just hear audio. I heard the speakers. My mic sound nice. But they heard what was being said. They believed what was being said. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in substitutionary atonement. They believed that they were depraved. They believed that they needed a Savior. They believed that Jesus rose again from the dead. They believed that he died for their sins. They believed that the work is finished. Amen. They believed that the only one that can please God is Jesus Christ, and you must be in Jesus Christ. They believed. Amen? They received the Spirit after they heard the word. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me not say it. Give me Ephesians. Let the word say it. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. I don't want you to think I'm crazy. I'm going somewhere. Please pray. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. In him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in him, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The one promised by Christ as owned and protected. Oh, I like the way that said. Owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, the foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession, his believers, to the praise of his glory. If you want a guarantee that you're saved, the Spirit himself is the guarantee. Amen? He is the deposit. He is the proof on the receipt. He is the guarantee. He is the proof that we are saved. We don't experience everything that comes with the blessing of the Holy Spirit while we are here on earth. But we do have a guarantee that our whole inheritance is coming. Why? Because he lives in me. I have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the foretaste. He is the down payment. Like when a woman gets engaged, she receives what we call an engagement ring. She knows that this relationship is what? Going somewhere. Amen? Look, all the women are listening now. I missed that whole first part, but you got me right. She begins what? To notice she takes herself off the market. I belong to somebody now. What? I've got a promise from somebody now. Why? Because they gave me a down payment. I'm wearing my ring, which means I can't date everybody and everything. I'm taking myself on. I'm promised to somebody right now. The Holy Spirit is the engagement ring to tell the devil, back up, bro. This one belongs to God now. Amen? But not only that, the Holy Spirit tells you when to back out. Because we don't go around messing with the devil and whatever he's trying to do or whatever he's trying to get you to do no more. Oh, that was a weak amen on that one. Guarantee me, but don't tell me what I got to do. So, Cornelius and his family, his whole crew are sitting there. They hear the gospel. They receive the Spirit. But they didn't do anything to receive the Spirit, but hear the word. They didn't get saved and then go in some back room and attend some special service and have special deep people pour oil all over you and grease you up so good you could slide all the way back home. And then you can receive the Spirit. No. They just believed. Think about it like this. It's like saying this. When you think that you have to do something to get the Spirit, it's like saying, well, God, I prayed. Okay. I prayed, fasted, snotted, cried for 45 hours straight. I begged you and cried out to you. And after all that, I think you owe me the Spirit. I mean, you know, look at me. Look at everything I've done to get you, God. Don't you give me this. You better. I mean, after all this time I done spent praying and begging you. They had me on that altar for 2 days straight. Give me the Spirit. Calm down, Jamie. No, it's the work of God alone. We cannot take credit for that. Amen? We don't do anything to impress God enough for him to say, okay, now you get the Holy Spirit. Because look at how faithful you've been. Look at how much you prayed. Look at how much Kleenex you used up. I mean, come on. That's not it. It's the Holy Spirit. He comes in with the package. You believe, you receive. Amen? After they heard the word, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. What? Give me Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. Hang with me. Ezekiel 36, it's Old Testament. This is what God promised. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. The Lord God says this through the prophet, a new heart also will I give you. That new heart is salvation. Amen? And a new what? You see it? Spirit. Holy Spirit, I will put in you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Amen. I will soften your heart so that you can obey me. If you can give yourself the power to obey God, you would have done that a long time ago. Amen? No. And then verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgment and do them. You cannot and must not take glory for your obedience to God. Amen? And what, verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Have you noticed in that passage how many times God says, I will? I'll do it. I'll give it. I'll supply it. I'll make sure. I'll guarantee it. It does not say you must do anything but believe. I'll give you the new heart. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. I will cause you to obey me. I will be your God. You will be my people. I'm going to make this happen. You see what's happening here? He did not say you get saved, then you must do something else to get the new heart, the new spirit. You see that? Romans 8 and 9 says it very clearly. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you can't be saved and not have the Spirit. Is that simple? There is no second blessing. You get saved, you get the Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit simply by receiving Jesus Christ. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? The moment you believe. John 3rd chapter, 5th verse, all the way through 16th verse, clearly states that. In so many other places, it states that. In Galatians, it states that. Amen? In Ephesians, we just saw it, it states that. You've been sealed. When you heard the word, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You have him, as I said last week, right now. Amen? Well then, Pastor, why then do people believe that? And why do they teach that there is something else that comes afterwards? Okay, you ready? Why did they have me standing up there all night long? For me to feel something supernatural and do something supernatural. Why is that? Well, I want to present another side. And I want to be careful with this because I don't want to disrespect anybody. When I trampled over these verses several years ago, I said it in a way that I would not say it now. Amen? Amen? To be careful in how you deliver the word. Amen? Amen. Must do it with compassion. Must do it with care. Amen? Amen. We grow. We learn. Amen? I'm a growing pastor. I would not say things the same way I said it several years ago. I just wouldn't. Amen? Amen. And I understand how some people can see the scripture this way. I'm going to give you a side because I want you to see this. And please pay attention, folks, because your assurance of your salvation is how you fight. If you don't know what you got, you'll always be trying to go, trying to get something. Amen. The devil will be beating you down while you already have the weapon.
Amen.
Learn that. He thrives on what you don't know. 8:14, Acts 8:14. I want you to see something different. Why do they say and teach that we need a second blessing or something that that must be a second blessing? Well, watch this. Help me, Lord. Acts 8:14 through 17. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that, underline the word Samaria, had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Very important. Go slow. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 is key. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 17 says, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, it looks like to me from that verse that it's possible to be saved and then ask God to give you the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Quiet up in here, boy. Let me offer you something. I want you to take it and think about it. This does not prove that you get the Holy Spirit later. This happened one time in the spirit, in the gospel. Amen. This happened one time in the Word of God, in the New Testament, rather. This just proves that God is very strategic. And he knows the heart of his people and the tendency that we have to watch this, and here's where we're going, to be prejudiced. What do you mean, Pastor? The reason why the Holy Spirit had not come, even though they had professed to believe in Samaria, is because this is in the infancy stages of the building of the church. And everything at that time had to be verified by the ones God sent to build the church in the first place. And who are they? The apostles. Hang with me. I don't want this to go over your head. So here comes Peter and John, and they are the apostles, and they lay hands on the Samaritans, and they all receive the Holy Spirit. But why was there a delay? That's the question. Well, because God, the Holy Spirit, wasn't just filling the Samaritans with the Holy Spirit. He was changing the minds of the Jewish apostles who still had a little prejudice in them, and letting them know that God was expanding his church into areas and places that they where there were folks that they would not normally kick it with. Oh, this is tough. In other words, he was letting the apostles know this church is going to be bigger than you and your little group. That's key. Hang with me. And he wants the apostles not only to see that the Samaritans are getting the Holy Spirit, he wants them to participate in it. This way, the church will be unified by one faith, one Lord, one Spirit. Huh? That's what it says, right? One Spirit, and not have all these cliques where we think we are better than other believers. Uh-huh. Just because we've been given something different than you and you've been given something different than us. And amen. So what happened? Starting with the Jews. Uh-huh. Then the Samaritans. Then with the Gentiles. Just like Jesus said. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Acts 1 and 8. Jesus promised this. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses. Unto me, both in, underline this, Jerusalem, phase one. Judea, phase two. Samaria, phase three. And the uttermost parts of the earth, phase four. What's happening? This is a transitional movement of taking the gospel into other areas that the Jews weren't comfortable with. Oh, hang with me. But at the same time, fixing the attitudes of the people that were sent into that area. So there were Jews between, there were issues between Jerusalem and Judea. They didn't get along at one point in time. And then there were issues with their wayward cousins, the Samaritans. Amen? Who messed up and got confused. And the Jews in Jerusalem and the Jews in Judea didn't get along with the Samaritans. And then, oh no, now you really done it. You're going to go talk to Cornelius, where he's a Gentile. And the Jews, and in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, none of them like the Gentiles. You see what's happening? All right, so they're sitting up there going, well, wait a minute, how's this going to work? But the Gentiles are going to get saved? We all know they're going to hell. What you have here, when people are thinking this way and have left to themselves, what we have had here is the potential for different kinds of churches where everybody in those different churches will think they're better than somebody. Are you hearing me? We must be careful to read the Bible through and pray for revelation so that we don't get stuck in a transition and make a whole new denomination out of a transition. There were transitional stages in the building of the church, and many people have built whole denominations on transitional phases without seeing the big picture of what God is really doing to what? Unite us. Huh? They jumped on one thing and created division instead of unity. And not seeing the whole picture of where God is coming from. We are one in Christ by one Spirit. Come on, somebody. And now we have churches that believe that when you get saved, you got to go into a special place and do something special to impress God so that he'll give you something. So what? You'll be like one of us. I'm deeper than you. You haven't quite gotten to my level yet. The Holy Spirit is in me, but he's not quite in you. And all the people are believing the same Jesus. You hear me? Back to Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Not impressed God to get the Spirit. They just heard the word. Now, verse 45 goes right into what we're talking about. Key word. And they of the circumcision. Who are they? The Jews. And how do they think? You see it? Because they're holding on to a transitional phase of ceremonialism where they can't see the big picture of what God is trying to do or wanting to do in order to unite the body of Christ. Amen? Now, interesting. He said, they of the circumcision which believed. They're believers with attitude problems. How many of those folks we got up in here still? We all got a little prejudice in us, don't we? Here she comes. Well, I would never see. We don't. That's them, but we don't. Our crew, we are really saved. You see how we can be? They of the circumcision, which believe, were what? Astonished. There's that interesting word again. It keeps showing up. I think God is wanting to tell TLC something. What does astonished mean? It's the same word we get perplexed, amazed, to throw out a position, to displace. What's happening? They see something that God does and they are amazed. They're stuck. They're shocked. God does something that you don't expect to get you to rethink what you think you know. No. As many as came with Peter. What does he mean by that? There was about six brothers that came with Peter that were all sitting at Cornelius' house while Peter is preaching the word to Cornelius and his family. And they're all sitting there probably looking like this. Peter is preaching the gospel and they got an attitude problem. Why? They're not circumcised.
That's what they mean.
They're Gentiles. Why are we even up in here?
That's right.
We don't associate with them. You see it?
Prejudice.
Oh, help us, Lord. Prejudice. There is no prejudice in Christ, people. They came with Peter and they were astonished. They were blown away. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't say nothing. They couldn't say a thing. All they could do was sit there and wonder and go, wow, what's going on here? For they heard them, and here's where we get in trouble, speak with tongues. All right. Help me, Lord. I'm not going to go on a rampage in the name of Jesus. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I would just say to you very simply this. How did they know they were magnifying God? Well, Acts 2 and 4 gives us a little bit of a clue. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, they were clubbing tongues of fire over above everybody's head. And they were speaking, in what the word says, tongues. And they were filled, Acts 2 and 4 says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But then it's clarified if you just keep reading in the 9th verse where it kind of explains what the tongues were. Acts 2, 9 through 11. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jewish proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in, our tongues. Again, what did they hear? The wonderful works of God. How did they know what the wonderful works of God were? They heard them speak in their own language. Oh, Pastor. Tongues were used as a sign to point to Jesus. The sign is not used to point to itself. You don't build a whole theology out of a gift sign. You build the theology about on what the sign or who the sign is pointing to, and that is Jesus Christ. In this case, the tongue that is spoken is something that the people understood. Help me, Lord. The people heard them speak the wonderful works of God. Or just like we saw, the people heard them speak in tongues. They were magnifying God. How can you agree or say amen to something you don't even understand? I don't understand what you prayed, Sister So-and-so, but amen to that. She could be saying, Lord, make them broke for the whole year. And you just, amen, agreeing with absolute craziness. You in your own prayer closet saying things to God you don't even know that you said. The word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14, and when I pray with the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful, meaning I don't understand what's being said. I speak to God in a language I don't even know. When I actually write down my prayers and have God, I pray to God my prayers, I write them down so that the Lord can answer the prayer, and I know what I prayed, and I know he's answered them. But if I don't know what I prayed, and in church, what you have is people who would get up and speak things, and there's no interpretation. And we just, woo, you deep, because you're saying things that we don't understand. Where's my daughter Lydia? She asleep? She's knocked out. Never mind. When I hold my baby, what I do every now and then, because my mama, she taught us all this. It's just in our blood. We hold the babies and we talk to them. And Lydia's just like, I love it, Daddy. I have no clue of what you're saying. But I know you love me. And she's like, it makes no sense to her what I said. But I taught my children one thing. Because every now and then, because I have a lot of them, when I'm coming in, I have several of them on me and they're small. I want to make sure I don't just have to decide which baby to drop. What I do is I tell the babies, Daddy, I say, Lydia, she gives me her attention. She knows her name. I say very clearly, down. And what she does is she immediately puts her head on my shoulder so that her weight is transferred to my body. What's happening? I can speak baby talk. She doesn't know what I'm saying. But when I speak very clearly a command, she knows what to obey. And that's what the signs were used for. You see what I'm saying? They would speak the words of God in their own language and know Jesus is the Savior. We must respond. We must obey the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. Do you see that? Other than that, what did I say? You don't know. And in this church, if you do that, and we love everybody, but I will call out Brother Clemas, the TLC policeman. And we will tell you, come over here. Because if you're going to give an interpretation or you're going to say the words of God in another language that we don't understand, somebody needs to be gifted with the interpretation. That's what.
Somebody's supposed to interpret.
Why? Because the commands of the Lord are clear. God wants you to understand. He doesn't want your salvation hanging up on something you don't even understand. Does that make sense? I know that's not where a lot of us come from. That's not even where I come from. But when you search the scriptures, you can see something there that makes a lot of sense. They heard them speak forth the words of God. They heard them magnify God. They understood that this was what was being said. What was being said? Something I can understand. Understand that? All right. Okay. That was rough. Verse 47. Back to Peter. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? God knew the hearts of the people he was dealing with. He knew that there was separation, that there were issues between all these tribes of people, and if he was going to make one church, he better do something they would all recognize. So what does he do? They got the Holy Ghost just like they did on Pentecost. And what did they do? They spoke in languages. They all received the gift. So you got people that had spoken on Pentecost. You got people that are speaking at Cornelius' house that are not of the same race. And they're going, well, I guess they're no different than us. They received the Holy Spirit just like we did. Amen? Amen. So, there would be no reason for the Jews to exclude folks out of the church. because they were not different. Amen? But when they saw that the Holy Spirit moved in them in exactly the same way, they could not deny that they were all the same. What's happening here? Well, let's go back. Peter, I'm about to send you to Cornelius' house. I don't want to go. What, how did you know that was happening? Well, Peter, here's a sheet. Take this. Eat this. Eat everything on there. All the ham hocks, all the smothered chicken. Eat it, Peter. Peter's like, I'm a Jew. We don't eat all that stuff. Lord, I don't eat stuff that's unclean. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit tells Peter, don't you dare call something unclean that I have made clean. And he has to do it three times in order to get Peter to move because Peter's stubborn. So the same thing is happening at Cornelius' house. What happens? It's not a second blessing. It's not the specialty of speaking in tongues. That's not the main focus of the scripture. The main focus of the scripture is that God is unifying his church. Yes. And that we have a natural tendency to get in his way.
Amen.
Why? Because you're not like me, and I'm not like you, and suddenly I decide not to like you. And I think I'm above you. When Jesus died for every last one of us. Are you hearing me? Simple message. Amen. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized. They believe, they receive the Holy Spirit, they speak in other languages, the other Jews recognize it, the six people that came with them, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So what you have here is a bunch of folks that would never be associated with each other, publicly claiming that there is fellowship with one another in Jesus Christ. Jesus is making sure that nobody walks out of Cornelius' house thinking they're better than anybody else. Are you hearing it? You seeing it? Amen. Now, here's the interesting part. I thought this was kind of interesting. Notice that it doesn't say that Peter himself baptized them. It says he commanded them to be baptized. How many people have baptized themselves? Nobody, right? Somebody baptizes you. If Peter didn't baptize them, then who did? The folks that came with him of the circumcision. Why is that important? God wants them to know that they are one. Just like he had Peter and John lay hands in Samaria. No, you're not going to only witnesses, you're going to be a part of this. I'm going to put all y'all together in the same pool. Kind of like how God puts all of us together in the same church. You see that? I'm going to make you participate in your own prejudice deliverance. Isn't that beautiful? Peter's not going to do it. No, y'all do it. Because I'm going to have to report back in Acts the 11th chapter and tell them what happened. And when I give the report, I'm going to say, it wasn't just me. Them six brothers that came with me, they did it. They did the baptizing. You see what's happening? Isn't that beautiful? God is forcing the point. And then after they were baptized in the name of the Lord, they prayed that he would tarry with them for certain days. They asked Peter, we got saved. We're filled with the Spirit. Can you stay a little while? You see the commitment level? This is a very simple message for us church folks. You got saved, and I just ditched you? No. Now comes the discipling phase. See, that's the part that we're missing nowadays, and I believe in church. Go and make church members? No. Go and make disciples, which means you have to commit your time to somebody that ain't just you. I got to spend time with you. I got to lovingly care about your growth. Peter, please stay with me. Tell me some things. Amen? They prayed that Peter would stay and feed them and care for them. They're newborn babes in Christ. Don't just preach me and leave me. You see what's happening here? Ah, They're babies. They're in need of love. They're babies. They're in need of care. They need teaching. I need balance because I can swing to the left or to the right too hard. Somebody tell me something. Can I get some older saints that have walked through this to walk with me?
Now.
Don't leave me hanging. The problem with this world, these people need to get saved. The problem with this world, you ain't spending time with the people that have been saved. Go spend time with them. Grow some people up in Christ. Amen? All right. Now, that's their side of it. But it's also good for Peter to stay close, too. Why? Because, like I said, he's got to give the report later on. Peter believes that they have received the Spirit, but now he's got to see that they are walking in the Spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? It's good that I teach you some things, but it's also good that I kind of check up on what we believe that has happened here. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, it's very obvious that you've received the Spirit because you're speaking in other tongues. Amen? We see that. That's what happened to us. That's what happened to you. Uh-huh. But it also should be very obvious to us, in front of us, reluctant believers, us circumcision Jews, that you don't just have the gift of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to stick around for a minute and check this out. Now, it needs to be very obvious. See, a lot of people get hung up on being deep, but have no fruit. I've seen so many people do miracles and do all kinds of things, and then right after that, I can't tell you saved. Oh, we need you to make sure you understand that Jesus can use you, but you need to behave like the one who's using you. Ooh. I'm glad you got the gift of the Spirit, and you can do incredible things, but do you have any fruit? Where's your love walk? Where's your self-control? Brother Jackson, you have the ability to lay hands and heal all the people in the church. And we're happy that you showed up to church this Sunday. Because we needed a healing and God sure enough used you. Now that we're all healed, Brother Jackson, you can stop laying hands on us. Brother Jackson, we're healed now. Thank you very much. Get your hands off me. Thank you, Brother Jackson, so much for your gift. Okay, Brother. Hands up, Brother Jackson. We need to see your hands at all times. Please put your hands up, Brother Jackson. Brother Jackson, get your hands off the sisters. Brother Jackson, she's already healed. Thank you very much. Showing that you have the power to be used of God during service and no power to be controlled by God after service. What does he do? Let me stick around. Tarry with us a little bit, Peter. Why? Because we still need some teaching. We got gifts, but we still got issues. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? I come from things, and the Holy Spirit's working some things out, and I might be a little extra touchy-feely. Praise the Lord. Speaking in tongues, and then use the same tongue to go get a sister's phone number that ain't your wife.
Lord, help us.
Help us, Jesus. We've seen it. So what does Peter say? Okay, fine. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna tarry with you, just like he did in Samaria when with the healing of Dorcas. When she got healed, and all the people believed, she said, hey, "Would you stay with me for a while?" And the word says that she urged him. No, I need you to stay with us. We don't know everything. We're babies in Christ. We need to be discipled. Amen. So what's that doing? It's proving the same point. You ain't going to stay with people if you're some stuck-up, arrogant Christian. I think you're better than everybody. You see what's going? Huh? I wish these young folks would get it together. Okay, what's your part in this stuff?
We'll straighten it out now.
You're looking at him at the mall. Where are your parents? Where are the Christians? Huh? Huh? You know you got them nieces and nephews. You know. I see them on your Facebook page. I know who they are.
Yeah.
They got bandanas and pants. They just don't know where the waistline is for whatever reason. Pants is way. They might come to church trying to hold them up. What are we doing though? We just sit there looking at them like they're crazy and, huh? What if they get saved? What if God does what he does to them that he did to Cornelius? And they say, can somebody please help me? I don't know everything. I'm not trained in this. I'm a baby in this. What do babies do? Huh? Lydia's always like, feed me. Lydia, you're so cute. That's great. Feed me. You're so beautiful. Can I have some love and some care? Please. I just got here. I'm not going to make it if you don't pour some time into me. Huh? What are we doing? We're discipling our children. Our children are at the dinner table. And we go through the word in the morning. And my wife teaches them in the afternoon. And then we do it again at night. You know, what's happening? Lydia's sitting there in earshot in the environment. Getting stuff. Huh? That's how the kids learn. That's the answer? Jesus is God? No. Spending time. You would do that with your own children. Would you do that with others? That are not like you? You see it? We can sometimes be just as much a part of the problem. Just because of our prejudice. And we all have it. If we're honest, we all have it. Now, we are unified by his word, by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not contradict the word. We're not unifying with everything.
No, we're not.
Okay? But when there is evidence of the Spirit, where God is doing something to an individual, we partner with them. Because we want them to grow. We want them to grow up and take our place one day. You see what's happening here? The church gets transferred not by membership, but by discipleship. Peter, stay with us. Yes. Of course I will. Because now I see, as the apostle, the apostle just got an adjustment. That we are one in Christ. Huh? Because you got the same spirit I got. Just the way I got it. I can't say nothing. Can we forbid that they have some water and be baptized? Put them in the water. Yeah. Why? Because we're all the same in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let us not forget that. This church has the ability to do incredible things. Let me tell you, we'll snuff it out. A bad attitude. Sitting in Cornelius' house. With your nose and ear. Thinking you're better just because you didn't do X, Y, and Z.
Oh, my.
When the truth is your X, Y, and Z is just a little bit different than mine. And you don't want to talk? We'd love to put a camera on and follow you around for a week without you knowing. And then we'll see how much you need Jesus and how much we need to pray for you too. Amen? Let's be real here, people. Amen? Let's be real. You're going to invite some people next Sunday, and I'm done. You're going to invite some people next Sunday. They're going to come to church. Some of them are not going to look like you. Some of them are not going to be like you. Some of them may have different theology than you. But how are we unified in that? We need to carefully look at that word and say, Lord, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe you need to adjust me. God is adjusting even how I deliver the word. Jamie, when you get up there, don't get cocky and say it crazy and get in the way of what I'm doing. We can all use an adjustment. Amen? Are we humble enough to do that? That's the question. Again, we don't accept every single thing. But where we see the Holy Spirit at work, we cannot deny fellowship with people, amen, who have been saved just like we've been saved. I'm done. Amen. Amen. Amen.